ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्यनाम्ने गौरवे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मंगलम भगवान विष्णु मंगलम गरुड़ध्वज मंगलम पुंडरीकाक्ष मंगलाय तनोहरि कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमः पंकज नाभाय नमः पंकज मालिने नमः पंकज नेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांगरि लोकाभिरामं प्रणरंगधीरं राजीव नेत्रं रघुवंशनाथं कारुण्यरूपं करुणाकरंतं श्रीरामचंद्रं शरणं प्रपद्ये जनकसुता जगजननी जानकी अतिशय प्रिय करुणा निधान की ताके जुगपद कमल मनावहु जासु कृपा निर्मल मति पावहु सिया राम मैं सब जग जानी करो प्रणाम जोरे जुगपानी मनोजवं मारुतुल्य वेगं जितेन्द्रियं बुद्धिमतां वरिष्ठं वातात्मजातं वानरयूथमुख्यं श्रीरामदूतं शरणं प्रपद्ये श्रीगुरुचरण सरोज रज निज मन मुकुर सुधार वरणौ रघुवर विमल जस जो दायक फलचार बुद्धिहीन तनु जान के सुमिरो पवन कुमार बल बुद्धि विद्या देह मोहे हरौ कलेश विकार सियावर राम जय जय राम मेरे प्रभु राम जय जय राम जय श्री सीताराम जय श्री राधेश
Make sure the door is closed. Okay. Once again, thank you very much. Yes. A lot of people joined while doing the invocation prayers. So, welcome again. So, last few weeks we have been discussing pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. Last week in particular we covered the topics of Hanuman returning from Lanka after burning Lanka, after finding Mother Sita. He returns back to give the news to Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra, after that, he comes to the shore of the ocean. And now everybody is thinking how to cross this ocean to go to Lanka with this huge army of monkeys and bears. At the same time, Vishan is kicked out by Ravana. So he leaves Lanka and comes to take shelter of Lord Ramachandra on the other side of the ocean. And then on the proposal of Vishan, Lord Ramachandra agrees to please Samudradev, Varun Dev, to get away from the middle of the ocean for his army to cross. But when 3 days of prayers, when Varun Dev did not appear, so Lord Ram gets angry and he decides to shoot an arrow to punish Varun Dev, to Samudradev. And at that time Samudradev appears in front of Lord Ramachandra asking for forgiveness, bringing a lot of gifts to please Lord Ram. And then he suggests that rather than partitioning the ocean into two, causing the risk of damaging all the sea life, please build a bridge across me. Please bind me with a bridge of rocks. All the vanars, all the monkey soldiers, so they build a bridge across the ocean to go from one side to another side. So Lord Ram has arrived in Lanka with his huge army. Mandodari tries to give a good counsel to Ravan. She suggests to return Mother Sita, not have enmity with Lord Ram. He is not an ordinary human being. He is the Supreme Lord. But Ravan is stubborn not to listen to anybody, ready to destroy all his Rakshasa dynasty. And Lord Ram, with his one arrow, he cuts the earrings of Mandodari, throws away the crown of Ravan, giving a warning. When Ravan was still in an enjoying mood, watching dance, trying to give a message to all his army that I am not afraid of anybody. At that time Lord Ram, cutting off the earring, throwing his crown, gives a message. So we covered up to that. We'll move forward from here. And in the previous session, I had missed one very important topic, which I will cover maybe today before we move forward. And at the end, somebody asked me one question also, so I thought it's good to tell that question and discuss a little bit that also, because it's a very important point. So the question was, when Lord Ram prayed to Varun Dev for 3 days, he was fasting, why Varun Dev did not appear at that time? Why he only appeared when Lord Ram became finally angry? Why not at the time when he prayed? So the answer is, Varun Dev is thinking, I am eligible to be chastised by Lord Ram, not to be pleased with the prayers of Lord Ram. If I become pleased when Lord Ram is praying and appear, people will think I am superior to Lord Ram. That he, Varun Dev, appeared after listening to the prayers. But my position is to be scolded by Lord Ram. That is my right position. So that's why he did not appear earlier. And he appeared as Lord Ram took up his bow and arrow, ready to shoot. At that time he appeared and his prayers was, the fool people deserve to be chastised. So that was the one point. And another topic which we missed was, as the monkey army is building the bridge to Lanka, at that time Lord Ram decides to establish Shivaling and worship Lord Shiva to please Lord Shiva. So that's a very important topic, and I thought we should discuss that, not skipping that point, because a lot of misconceptions are there on that topic and people keep going on that discussion. Who is superior? Is Lord Ram superior or Lord Shiva superior? Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva at Rameshwaram, so isn't Lord Shiva superior? So that's a very important topic. So I want to discuss that. So as the monkeys are building the bridge, all the vanaras are building the bridge from Rameshwaram to Lanka, at that time Lord Ram decides to establish a Shivalinga. Ling thapi vidhibat kari puja siva samana priya mohina duja. So Lord Ram saying, I will establish the Shivling and worship Lord Shiva. There is no one more dear to me as Shiva. And he sends few vanaras to bring some selected sages. So who can, in a proper, with rules and rituals, with proper regulative principle, who can help in establishing the Shivaling and help in the worship of Lord Shiva. So Lord Ramchandra established the Shivaling. He did the worship to please Lord Shiva. But why did Lord Ram worship Lord Shiva? That is the main point. That is the important point. Is Lord Ram worshipped him because Shiva is superior to Lord Ram? What is the real intention behind it? So actually there are multiple points. One thing is Lord Ram, he is a Kshatriya. He is a king. He is a prince. And as a Kshatriya, and the Kshatriya, they worship Lord Shiva, especially before going for a war. So that is the duty of a Kshatriya, to worship Lord Shiva, especially on the verge of war. Why? War represents what?
Destruction.
Destruction. And Lord Shiva is in charge of annihilation, destruction. So when somebody is going to engage in the act of destruction, they need to please Lord Shiva to get his blessing, to be engaged in that task on behalf of Lord Shiva to cause some destruction. So that is one, as a Kshatriya. So all the Kshatriya kings, even though they may be Vaishnavas, they used to worship Lord Shiva. Another point is, Lord Ram want to please Lord Shiva. Why? Because Ravan is the devotee of Shiva. And Lord Ram is thinking, Ravana will definitely worship Shiva and ask him to fight on his side against me. So let me warn, or kind of give a heads up to Lord Shiva, that don't get on his side. He is bound to be destructed. Don't even get into that. So you want to please Lord Shiva, just caution him. And when people say Lord Ram established Shivaling or worship Lord Shiva, and the name is given as Rameshwaram, what is the meaning of Rameshwaram? Does the meaning of Rameshwaram means Rama Ishwara Yasya? Lord Ram, who is Lord Ram's Ishwara, the worshipable Lord? That is Shiva. Is that the meaning? But Lord Shiva tells Parvati, Rameshwaram means whose worshipable Lord is Ram. Rama Ishwara Yasya. Whose worshipable Lord is Ram, that is Rameshwara. And if somebody is serving somebody, if person A serves person B, does it mean person B is superior? Does it always mean? As a father and son, as a father and child, father sometimes may be serving the child, most of the time. At the night when child, they put child on bed, father may be massaging the little baby, massaging his leg. Oh, he was running around all day, let me just massage his legs. So does it mean the child is superior than father? So father is serving the child out of love. So same way when Lord Ram is worshipping Lord Shiva, it's not, doesn't mean Lord Shiva is superior. It's because Lord Shiva is the most loving to Lord Ram. So he expressed his love by serving him in the battle of Mahabharata. Lord Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna. Does it mean Arjuna was superior of Krishna? So Krishna accepted to become his chariot driver out of his love for his devotee. But it doesn't make Lord Krishna's position lower. He is still the Supreme Lord. And Arjuna is a devotee. So same way, worshipping Lord Shiva by Lord Ram doesn't make Lord Shiva to be the superior. What is Shiva known as? Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Among all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava. And there are many nice chopais or dohas in this part of Ramayana, which Lord Ram declares the position or the relationship between Lord Shiva and Lord Ram. So I'd like to read few of those, which gives very clear indication what is the loving exchange between Lord Shiva and Lord Ram. So Lord Ram says, Shiva drohi mam bhagat kahava, so nar sapne hu mohin pava, sankar vimukh bhagati chah mori, so naraki mooda mati thori. If somebody consider himself my devotee, but he is enemy of Lord Shiva, or he blasphemes Lord Shiva, that person, even in dreams, he cannot achieve me. So sometimes there is always some conflict between the Vaishnavas and Shivites. Vaishnavas say, oh, Vishnu is topmost, Shiva, nothing. They even go to the level of blaspheming Lord Shiva. Same way Shivites, they think Shiva is the topmost, Shiva is the superior. Who is Ram? Who is Vishnu? And they blaspheme Vishnu or Ram. But Lord Ram is saying, Shiva drohi mam bhagat kahava. If somebody thinks he is my devotee, but he has enmity towards Lord Shiva, who is blaspheming Lord Shiva, forget about attaining me. Not even in dreams. Sankar vimukh bhagati chah mori, so naraki mudamati thori. He is the most foolish person. And same way, Sankar priya mama drohi, Siva drohi mama das. So he is telling both sides of the coin. If somebody thinks he is devotee of Shiva, but he is my enemy. And on the other side, somebody thinks my devotee, enemy of Shiva. Te nar karahi kalap bhari, ghor narak mohubas. He will go to the hellish planet for a duration of one kalpa. So when we become devotee, when we become Vaishnavas, we should not start criticizing anybody else, and especially Lord Shiva. Now here Lord Ram is pointing out to Ravana. What was Ravana doing? He was thinking, I am a great devotee of Shiva. Who is this Ram? Mere a human being. So Lord Ram is giving a warning here. Sankar priya mam drohi. He may be thinking he is dear to Lord Shiva, but he is my enemy. For him there is no scope. And then Lord Ram explains the importance of this place of Rameshwaram. Je Rameshwara darsana karahi, tetanu taji mam loka sidarahi. If somebody comes to Rameshwaram, take darshan of this Rameshwaram, that person will attain to my abode. So Rameshwaram is known as among the Char Dham. Right? Rameshwara is one of the four Dham. All these four Dham are related to Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Lord Ram. So Lord Ram is saying, somebody comes, take darshan of this Rameshwaram, he attains to my abode. Jo Ganga Jal Anih Chadai, so Sajujya Mukti Narapahi. If somebody comes and offers Ganga Jal here, that person will attain Sajujya Mukti. There are five types of Mukti. Sometimes we say Mukti. Mukti means liberation. Liberation from this material world. So there's five type of liberation, and the lowest class is becoming one with the impersonal Brahman. But somehow people think, oh, that is mukti, getting liberation. I want to become one with Brahman. But that is a low class mukti because there is no engagement there. And there is every chance of somebody is falling down again from that position. And another mukti is Sajujya Mukti, which is getting the same form as the Lord. So Lord Ram is giving that benediction. If somebody comes to this dham, offer Gangajal, he is eligible to get Sajujya Mukti. Hoi akam jo chalataji sehi bhagati moritehi sankara dehi. So if somebody visit Rameshwaram, what Lord Shiva will give as a benediction? So here is again one clarification which clearly indicates what is the position of Lord Ram and what is the position of Lord Shiva. So Lord Ram is saying if somebody comes here, worship even Lord Shiva here in Rameshwaram, Lord Shiva will give him my bhakti. So one can understand, if Shiva was superior and Lord Ram was worshipping Shiva, Lord Ram could have said, Shiva will give him his bhakti. But Lord Ram is saying, Shiva will give him my bhakti. He will give the benediction of attaining Ram bhakti. Mam krit setu jo darsan karahi, so binu kshram bhava sagar tarahi. If somebody take darshan of this Ram setu, the built bridge on this ocean, that person will be easily able to cross beyond this ocean of death and birth. Bhava sagar tarahi. Why? Why somebody becomes eligible to cross beyond this ocean? Not just this ocean going from India to Sri Lanka, crossing that ocean. Somebody can cross beyond this material existence, the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. Because Ram Setu indicates the power of holy name. Ram Setu is built by the power of Lord Ram's name. And Lord Ram's name is the only medium, Lord's name in Kali Yuga is the only medium to cross beyond this ocean of birth and death. There is no other way. So here, Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva, but he himself clarifies what is the significance of this place and ultimately who is superior. Lord Shiva's position is very, very special. He is the topmost devotee. And one should never get to a point of criticizing Lord Shiva. As a devotee, we even say we should not even criticize any living entity. What to consider about the position of Lord Shiva? So I just wanted to cover the point which we have missed last time. So now we move forward. So Lord Ram has...
Lord Ram telling this words to whom?
He's telling, addressing everybody. He's addressing everybody and especially for the people to come to know the importance of this place and to clear the doubts people may have. So Lord Ram, along with his army, crosses this bridge, Ram Setu, and comes to Lanka. And before the war is going to start, Lord Ram is thinking, we should give another chance to Ravana. Another chance of peace. War is always destructive, causes damage, and without reason, all these soldiers on both sides, they will be killed. So the peace, if we can solve our purpose through peace negotiation, that is the best option. So Lord Ram is thinking, we should send somebody as a messenger. Lakshmana, of course, is on the contrary. Why we should? It's the time of fight, war. And Jambavan is saying, all other ministers, they agree. This is a very good proposal. We should still try for another chance of peace. So Lord Ram is taking their opinion. Whom should we send as a peace messenger? And by default, the name comes. Everybody thinks, let's send Hanuman. He already went once. Everybody recognizes him. Let's send Hanuman again as a peace messenger. And Hanuman is saying, no, I already went once. And if I go again, people will think he's the only one on their side. There's nobody else capable enough or powerful enough. So Hanuman says, let's send Angad. He is the son of mighty King Bali. Very powerful, and he is the prince. So we should send Angad as the peace messenger. So Lord Ram calls Angad. And he addresses all the Vanaras as if his sons. So he addresses Angada, my dear son, I'm sending you as the messenger. And talk to Ravana to show that we are talking about his benefit. So talk like that, he also is benefited and our work is also done. So convey the message in that way. So Angad is ready to go as a peace messenger. So sometimes people think, is this a act of coward that to keep pushing the war, keep trying for peace, as a just negotiation? Is it a cowardly act? But the Bharatiya Sanskriti, there is the importance of two things. There is the importance of sadhu and importance of soldier. So there are two things, sadhu or sipahi. And then there are two aspects, shastra and shastra. Both things are important in the society. The saintly person, they invoke faith in the society. And the soldiers, they bring in
peace and order.
The anushasan, what is that?
Discipline.
Sadhu brings faith, the soldiers bring discipline. So there is importance of both. And our Sanskriti is, first we want to have everything done by peace. But if something is not working out with peace, we need to use the soldier is the weapon to instill the discipline. So that's why there is the importance of both shastra and shastra. Shastra is to make somebody understand in a proper way. This is right, this is not the right thing, this is the wrong thing. But if somebody is not understanding the message, so in the shastra there is one amatra. If that amatra is taken out as a stick, that can be used as a weapon. So if from the shastra, if you remove that a, it becomes shastra. So if somebody is not understanding by word, that person need to be understood by the weapon. So that's why if you see all the incarnations of the Lord comes with a weapon. Lord Vishnu is holding Gada and Chakra. And he is also holding Shankh and Pushpa. So if somebody is not able to understand by love and respect peacefully, then the weapon need to be used to bring in discipline in the society. Lord Ram, he is carrying Dhanushvan, right, as a weapon. Lord Krishna, even though he was playing flute, but he, whenever needed, he will have his Sudarshana. Parshuram, he was carrying the axe. So all the various incarnations, Lord is carrying something. Hanuman is carrying Gada. So when somebody is not able to understand the message by words, that person need to be understood by weapon. इसलिए बोलते हैं जो लातों बातों से नहीं मानते वो लातों से मानते हैं लातों के भूत बातों से नहीं मानते. So Angad, he is ready to go as messenger, but now there is another difference here between Angad and Hanuman's way of dealing. So Hanuman is like a sadhu primarily. His way of dealing is as a saintly person. So when Hanuman went, he tried to do everything peacefully, but when the peacefully did not happen, the sadhu can take up the weapon also. He was ready to take up weapon also. But he was willing to even kicked by the demons. So when Meghnad bound Hanuman, all the demons, they are coming and kicking Hanuman. They are laughing at him. And Hanuman was tolerating. That is the sadhu. Sadhu is one who tolerates. His motive was, I need to do Lord Ram's work. Even if at the sake of being kicked by others, being mocked by others, I am ready to do that. So Hanuman primarily, he is like a sadhu. And Angad is Sipahi. He is a soldier. He is ready to act immediately. So as Angad enters from the door of Lanka, all these demons, they are looking at and they are thinking same person came. And they are becoming fearful. Fir se aa gaya. He came again. And they are becoming fearful. And as Angad is going on the walkway, pathway, Ravana's son, he saw Angad. And he came, he tried to kick Angad. See, if it was Hanuman, what happened? Hanuman was tolerating the kicks. I need to go to meet Ravan. If that is the way they are kicking me, taking me there, that's okay. I'm ready to tolerate. But here on the contrary, Angad, as Ravana's son tried to kick Angad, he just lifted his foot. Angad catch hold on his foot and just throw him on the ground. And Angad, Ravana's son, died immediately there. And all the demons who were watching there, they immediately understood, this is not the same monkey. He is a different one. See, that monkey, he was tolerating everything. But this guy, he is ready to get in action. So he is not the same one. And they, without asking, started showing him the path to Ravana's court. Please, this side. Everybody is showing him the path. Please go this side. And somebody is asking, why are you showing the path? He even didn't ask you, where is Ravana's court, and you are telling him to go there. Why? And they are thinking, let him go from there. Hamari jaan to chute, hamari jaan to bache. Let us be excused, let him go there. Jiski saari kartoot hai, usko punish kare. Hame to, hamari jaan chute yahan se. So Angad, he comes outside the Ravana's court and he sends one person inside to give a message that Lord Ram's messenger has come and he wants to come inside. He has bring Lord Ram's message. And as Ravana hears this, he tells, okay, bring him inside. And Ravana asks Angad, hey monkey, who are you? As when Hanuman came, Ravana asked Hanuman, hey monkey, who are you? Why did you kill all my soldiers? Why did you destroy my gardens? So he asked so many things and Hanuman was quiet in the beginning. And after being asked so many things, then Hanuman started speaking. Here, Ravana asked one thing. Hey monkey, who are you? And Angad started speaking non-stop. I am the messenger of Lord Ram. I have come to give you the good counsel. You have stolen Lord Ram's wife. I give you the caution, give you the warning. Return Mother Sita immediately. Take a blade of grass in the middle of your teeth. Keep all your wives in front of you. Go in shelter of Lord Ram. Pray to Lord Ram. Trahimam. Please forgive me. I made this big mistake. Return Mother Sita and Lord Ram will excuse you. Rangad started giving this big bhashan, big lecture to Ravana immediately. And Ravana was furious. Who are you? First tell me your name. Who are you? Who is your father? Give me your introduction. Angad said, my name is Angad. I am the son of mighty King Bali. I hope you have heard his name. Because Angad knew what had happened in the past. Ravana had once gone to fight with Bali. Bali was doing his Gayatri. See, Bali used to do Gayatri 3 times a day And he will do Gayatri at three different places. Morning, afternoon, evening, he will go three different dham to do his Gayatri. He will jump from one place to another to another. And Bali, he was sitting doing his Gayatri, and Ravan came and started hitting with his gada from the back. And Bali was busy in Gayatri. He did not want to get up. He just catched hold of Ravana's head under his armpit. And he kept it like that. And Ravana was trying to escape. So Bali ultimately kept Ravana like 6 months that way. Until Ravana finally compromised and make friendship, allies with Bali. And as Bali brought Ravana, kept under his armpit like that, he came home. Angada saw, oh, my father brought some toy for me. And Angada used to come and kind of slap his head or something. He was playing with Ravana's head. That's some nice toy for me to play. So Angada is kind of joking here to Ravana. I hope you remember Bali. And Ravana, just to brush aside the topic, he said, yeah, yeah, I know there was one monkey named Bali. He was my friend. So you are the son of my friend. How is Bali now? Even though Ravan knew, he knew all the news, right? Every time he was getting the news that Ram has killed Bali, then what had happened to Shrupnakha, Kharadushan, Virad, all, everybody killed. Ravan had every news. But just to ignore all that, he is asking Bali. He is asking Angad. So you are the son of Bali, my friend. How is Bali? He said, Bali is going to some place and I am pretty sure you are also going there soon. And you can ask him, how are you? You are also going there very soon. Because he had enmity towards Lord Ram. So Lord Ram killed him with just his one arrow. And that is what is going to happen to you also. So Ravan said, your father was killed by Ravana and by Ram. And you are serving that same Ram. Shame on you. You are the destructor of your family lineage. And Angad jokingly said, oh, you think I am the destructor of my family, my dynasty. Look at you. You are the protector of your family. Because of you, all your Rakshasa dynasty is going to be destroyed soon. And you think I am the destructor of my family lineage. So Ravana is telling Angad, in one sense, you get on my side. You come on my side and we will take revenge against Ram together. Ram also killed your father and he insulted my sister and killed so many my people. My son is killed. So you come on my side. See, that is the tendency of a demonic person. To separate a saintly person from the association of saintly people, or to separate the person away from the Lord, to drag him away from the Lord. But on the contrary, the saintly person's nature is to separate a person, even if a person has a little bit saintly qualities, but he is associating with a demonic person, the saintly person wants to separate them and bring the person in the shelter of Lord Ram. So the difference in the attitude or the mentality of Ravan and Hanuman. Vibhishan had little saintly qualities, even though he was staying in the association of Ravana, but he was a devotee. So Hanuman thought, let me give him my mercy, bring him in the shelter of Lord Ram. So Hanuman intentionally did not burn Vibhishan's house. That ultimately he will come take shelter of Ram. He will be kicked out by Ravana. So he wanted to separate the person from the demonic association, bring him in the shelter of Lord Ram. But on the contrary, Ravan, he wanted to separate Angad from the association of Ram. He wanted to bring him on his side. See, one person was telling, I have a very nice trick to separate two friends. If there are two very good friends, I know how to separate them or bring enmity among them. So one person, the two friends, very dear friends, they were coming. And this person went. Within 1 minute, I will separate them, he challenged.
So he went. He asked one person among those two friends. He asked one, please come, I want to tell you something. So this person went and he took his mouth close to his ear and he started murmuring as if he is saying something but without saying anything. And this person is saying what? He's saying. So he's just mouthing something but without speaking anything. So after a few minutes, this person came back to his friend and his other friend started asking, what did he say? He said, no, nothing. He did not tell me anything. And this person was saying, no, I saw. He was telling something in your mouth. I was seeing something he was telling. That's all your friendship. You don't want to tell me. And he's saying, no, he didn't tell me anything. And this person, now the other friend, see, that's all our friendship. You don't want to share with me anything what he told, maybe something very secret thing. So they started fighting. So this person, he just used a little trick to separate two good friends. That is the demonic propensity. Just to separate two good people from each other. And that's what Ravana is trying to do with Angada. To separate him, just giving him allurement. You come on my side, we'll take revenge from Ravana. See, he made Sugriva as the king. You are supposed to be the king. And Angad becomes very furious. Angad says, I am giving you another warning. You return Mother Sita immediately. Otherwise, there is no scope for you. And Ravana says, you don't know my power. I have won over all the 14 planetary system. I have won all the demigods. Who is this mere human being? You are trying to scare me with the power of this mere human being. Angad said, I know your power. I have heard of many Ravanas. I don't know which Ravana you are. I know one Ravana, Bali kept him for 6 months under his armpit. I know another Ravana who went to fight with Bali in Sutal. As he went to fight with Bali, some children bound him and kept him in horse stable, Ashavashala. They kept him bound in Ashavashala, in horse stable. And then finally Bali had to come and rescue him. And I know about another Ravana who went to fight with Sahasrabahu Arjuna and was defeated by him. So which Ravana are you? Ravana is saying, I am such a powerful. I lifted Kailash. I offered my heads, 10 heads in the sacrificial fire to please Lord Shiva. I am such a powerful personality. Angad said, you sacrifice your 10 heads in fire. But there are so many mosquitoes who just get attracted by the fire of the lamp, run towards the lamp and get burned. What is so big about this? In the morning, is there any news in the newspaper that so many mosquitoes got killed in the fire of the lamp? So what is so great about you sacrificing your lamp? You are just like a patanga who is getting closer to the fire to be killed. And Ravana is raged with Angad's this joking words. And Angad saying, return Mother Sita, and Ravana is trying to again and again glorify himself. And as Ravana is trying to insult Lord Ram, Angad he said, I take a vow that I will put my foot here if any of your warriors can lift my foot from the ground. I make this promise that I will return, Lord Ram will return empty-handed without war, leaving Mother Sita here. And Ravan immediately thought, oh, that's a good opportunity. He is like a gambler, right? If he was a great warrior, he will not accept that proposal. No, I don't want to accept anything. Let the war happen. I want to show my power. But he is like a gambler. He's thinking, oh, if I can get Sita, everybody will live without war. Why not? Just lifting the foot of Angad. What is the problem in touching Angad's foot? So he started sending all his warriors, trying to lift the foot of Angad. One by one, everybody comes. Nobody is able to lift the foot of Angad. And finally, Ravan, he gets up himself. And actually before, when Angad threw his foot on the ground, the whole earth shook. All the people who were sitting in the assembly, they all fell down from their seats. Even Ravana's asan shook. Ravana's mukuts, crowns, fell on the ground. Ravana picked up six of them, but Angad quickly went, picked up four of the crowns and threw it outside the assembly, which came to Lord Ram. And as these mukuts were coming, somebody thought, stars are falling from the sky. The crowns were so shining. So Lord Ram picked up those crowns, and one of the crown he put on Bhavishan as declaring him the king of Lanka. And here when Ravana came to lift the foot of Angad, Angad immediately picked up his foot. Why you are falling on my feet? Better you fall on the feet of Lord Ramachandra. He will forgive you all your offenses. But now the very important point which comes here. Why Angad took such a big risk of making that kind of promise, that if somebody lifts my foot, I make a promise that Lord Ram will return from here without fight, without war, leaving Mother Sita here. Why he took that kind of position? That's why there is a difference between Hanuman and Angad. Hanuman is a sadhu, Angad is a sipahi, and he is young. And sometimes young people, they get into something as kya bolte hain, josh mein aa jate hain. Josh mein aake bahut badi badi baat kar dete hain. Say something very big, big things. So Angad, somebody asked Angad, why did you make that kind of promise? What if somebody could have lifted your foot? He said, I am this messenger of Lord Ram. I acted on the strength of Lord Ram. Lord Ram will take care of everything. I had full faith in the power of Lord Ram. That Lord Ram will make arrangement, he will take care of everything. That is the faith of a devotee. The same instance happened in the Mahabharata war. So when Bhisham Pitama took the vow, next day I will kill all the five Pandavas. I will use these five arrows and kill all the five Pandavas. And Lord Krishna came to know immediately about that vow, the vow which Bhishma had taken. All the Pandavas were sleeping at night and Krishna used to awake, making the next day's planning, their strategic positions. So Krishna came to Arjuna. Arjuna, wake up, you are sleeping peacefully. And here something is happening. Bhishma has taken the vow to kill all of you. And Arjuna said, Krishna, why are you disturbing my sleep? Let me sleep. You are fearful of saving our life. You be awake. Let me sleep. Tumhe jyada chinta hai, tum jago. Mujhe to sone do. So that is the faith of a devotee. Avashya rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will take care of everything. Lord Ram will take care of everything. He will protect. So Angada, he also acted with that faith. Lord Ram will take care of everything. And in the deeper meaning here, or the deeper pastime here, the internal pastime. See, Lord Ram, Mother Sita, whatever is happening, that is the external pastime. It's not that Lord Ram is suffering from separation of Mother Sita. He is just doing the part in this Leela. He is the story writer. He is the director. And he is the topmost actor. And he is in full control of the storyline, what is happening. And he is playing the nice Leela. So here, when Angad put his foot, make that promise, Lord Ram knows everything. He is watching everything. What Angad has done. And he immediately contacted Mother Sita, heart-to-heart connection. Janki ji, our son, he has done something different what we had sent him. So he had taken this promise, now you take care of everything. And Sita immediately called Mother Earth. She immediately prayed to Mother Earth that my son Angad, he has done this act. Now you take care of everything. Please hold on to that part of Earth so strongly that nobody can separate his foot from Earth. So Mother Earth is holding on to that. So ultimately it's Lord Ram's mercy by which Angad's foot is not being able to be moved by anybody. And that is the faith of the devotee, that Lord Ram will take care of everything. So after defeating Ravana's pride, Angad comes back. He gives the news what all has happened. And Lord Ram is just smiling. He knows already what has happened. So now next day the war is finally going to start. So I'm going to cover the main parts of the war. We cannot go with all the details of the war which happened. We'll take maybe the few significant instances in the war. So the one significant instance is the war between Lakshman and Meghnad. So Meghnad came for fight. Meghnad is son of Ravan. His name is also Indrajit. He got this name because of defeating Indra, the king of demigods. And that's why he got the name Indrajit. And he got the name Meghnad. As soon as he was born, he had the roar of like the roaring or the clouds, as the clouds are roaring. So that's how he got the name Meghnad, the thundering of the clouds. So Indrajit come for fight, and there is a fight going on between Lakshmana and Indrajit. And in that fight, Indrajit shoots the Shakti weapon on Lakshmana, which strikes on his chest, and Lakshmana falls unconscious on the ground. And Meghnad comes, thinks, I will take Lakshmana, I will bind him and take to Ravana as a gift. And as Lakshmana is bound, captured, the war will stop immediately. So he is trying to lift Lakshmana, but with all his power, with thousands of his soldiers, nobody is able to lift Lakshmana. And so he finally leaves. And Hanuman takes Lakshmana, bring him to Lord Ram. So here Lord Ram is seeing Lakshmana's position, that he is unconscious, he is hurt. Lord Ram is not able to bear that situation of Lakshmana, and he is thinking, I can bear the separation from my wife Sita, I can bear the separation from my father, I can bear the separation from everybody, but I cannot bear the separation from you. So he is saying to Lakshmana, that how will I go back, how will I show my face to Mother Sumitra, who had sent you with me to the forest? And everybody is thinking how to save Lakshmana's life. And then Jambavan, he knows there is a very eligible doctor, very knowledgeable doctor, Vaidya, in Lanka. His name is Sushan. So he says, somebody, if somebody can go, bring that Vaidya here, maybe he can suggest something. So again they are thinking whom to send. So whose name comes? Hanuman, let's send Hanuman to Lanka to bring that Vaidya Sushan here. So Hanuman is immediately ready to go to Lanka, and he becomes so small. He immediately assumes a very small form. Sukshma Rupa Dhari. So that is the quality of Hanuman. When needed, he can become so huge, and when needed, he can become very small. But generally, what happens if somebody is very powerful or very big in society, who has a very big name and fame, for that person to come on a very low position is very difficult. Right? In any class of, in any society you can see, or any circle of people, even in our devotee circle also, sometimes you see, if somebody is very famous, oh, he's a very scholarly person, gives very nice classes, or he arranges very nice festivals or something. For that such kind of person, it becomes very difficult to take a very low class position, low position for a menial activity. So that is the lesson to be learned from Hanuman. He has no problem becoming so small when needed, and he can become so big when needed to do the work of Lord Ram. So he immediately became so small went to Lanka and quickly brought back Sushan Vaidya along with his house. And as Hanuman is coming, they are saying Hanuman is bringing the whole house on his hand. They are thinking, why Hanuman brought the whole house? We asked him to bring Sushan Vaidya. What is he bringing? So Sushan Vaidya came. So why Hanuman brought the whole house, not just Vaidya? Somebody asked him. Hanuman is very intelligent. The prayer we say, right, to Hanuman, Buddhimatam Varishtam. He is very intelligent. So somebody asked Hanuman, why you brought the whole house? Why not just the Sushan Vaidya? So Hanuman said, Ravan knows what has happened. You know, Lakshmana has been hurt. And he may have put his spies on all the doctors in Lanka, that somebody may come to get medical help. And let not have anybody go out of Lanka to give some help. So he may have put all his gupta, his spies, his soldiers all around. So if I had brought Sushan Vaidya alone, and they will say, oh, house is empty, they will be immediately alert and they will tell Ravana, and Ravana may come for fight immediately. So I just brought the whole house. So when all these spies go, they will not even find the address. So Ravana has given some address. This is the address of all the doctors in Lanka. So go take, do the spy everywhere. And they will not even find this house, and they will be just circling around. Happens sometime. You know the address, 1529 Boyd Street, we need to go there. But if you don't even see the house number, you will be going here and there in circles. Prabhuji, we even didn't find your house. So Hanuman is thinking they will not even find the house. Let them keep doing their spy. And another thing is, this is night time, Sushan Vaidya is sleeping. If I try to wake him up and forcibly try to bring him, he may shout, he may make noise and alert other people. So it will be a problem to bring him. So I just brought him along with his house while he was sleeping. So no problem of his making noise and alerting anybody. Another very important point. See, if I brought Sushan Vaidya alone, and even he looks at Lakshmana, even if he has some cure for him, he may say, oh, you brought me alone, all my medicine is at my house, in my dispensary. So I need to go back and bring my medicines also. So I just brought the whole dispensary along with the doctor. Let's not take any risk. And as Sushan Vaidya is coming, he comes out of the house, he will think, I have not gone anywhere, everybody has come to me only. Right? I am at my home only. All these people have come to me. I am not gone anywhere. So that is Hanuman. So Hanuman brought the whole house along with Sushan. And now the Sushan Vaidya, he does his duty as a doctor, not thinking, oh, he is enemy or friend. So he looks at Lakshmana, he says, only scope of his being cured is a very rare medicine which is in the Himalayan mountains on the north side of Bharatvarsha. And that medicine need to be brought back before sunrise. Now think, it's already night time. And before sunrise, few hours left, somebody need to go all the way, thousands of miles, and bring that medicine back here. Then only Lakshmana can be saved. So Lord Ram is filled with anxiety. How can that be? Who can do that? So if Lakshmana is not saved, if Lakshmana dies, there is no point of fighting, keeping on this war. We'll just go back. And here Hanuman, he gets up. I will do that. I will go bring that medicine before sunrise. But sun is going to rise soon. You need to come back before sunrise. And here Hanuman says, as long as I don't return, sun will not rise. It's not the question of sun rising before I return. It's the question of sun will not rise before I return. Why? Because I have experience. In the childhood also, Hanuman once swallowed sun. So if sun tries to rise, he knows what I had done earlier. So Hanuman starts his journey to bring Sanjeevani. And of course Ravan, he is keeping the every minute news. He knows Hanuman is going to bring Sanjeevani. He thought, let me kill Hanuman on the way itself. He sends his another Rakshasa, Kalanemi. So he personally goes to Kalanemi's house. Tells him that you go destroy that Hanuman. And Kalanemi also gives advice to Ravan. You forget about this war. You return Mother Sita to Ram. There is no scope for you. And Ravan tries to chastise Kalanemi. And Kalanemi also, like Maricha, he also thought better to be killed by Ravana's hand, better to be killed by the Dut of Ram, better to be killed by the hands of Hanumanji. So Kalanemi goes. In the middle, he just disguises himself as a sadhu. And as Hanuman is passing, he sees one kutiya, one hermitage of a sadhu. He gets down. He offers him, you take bath in the lake there and come back. I will give you diksha. I will give you knowledge by which you will be able to do the work easily. So as Hanuman goes in the lake to take shower, there is one crocodile. And she is a... she is one celestial woman who has been cursed to become a crocodile. So as she comes, attack on Hanuman, Hanuman kills that crocodile. So she appears in her original form. And she warns Hanuman, this sadhu, he is a Falgu sadhu. He is a disguised sadhu. Actually, he is a Rakshasa. So Hanuman comes and destroys this Kalanemi. With his one punch, he kills this Kalanemi. And Hanuman continues. He reaches to the mountain which has a Sanjeevani. And this mountain has many herbs actually. And there are many shining herbs. Even though Sushan Vaidya has given the indication that what is the Sanjeevani herb. But Hanuman is thinking, which particular to take? All looks like alike. All looks very similar. Now here, did Hanuman really was confused which is Sanjeevani? Or he is again doing some other leela here? So Hanuman saying, let me take the whole mountain. So Hanuman picks up the whole mountain on one hand and he starts flying back. And as he's flying over Ayodhya, now Bharat is sitting outside in Nandigram chanting the name of Lord Ram while guarding Ayodhya. So he is chanting. As soon as he saw somebody carrying a big mountain on his hand, Bharat is thinking, is somebody coming to attack on Ayodhya? Is he going to drop this mountain on Ayodhya to destroy it? So Bharat immediately drops his mala and picks up his bow and arrow. He shoots an arrow on Hanuman, thinking him to be an enemy. And that arrow is without the tip. Bolte bina phal wala ban. So Bharat shoots an arrow on Hanuman. Hanuman, the arrow shoots on his chest and he falls down, chanting the name of Ram. Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Ram. As Hanuman is falling down, Bharat is hearing that this person is chanting the name of Lord Ram. And he is filled with anxiety. What did I do? Did I hurt some devotee of Lord Ram? Bharat comes immediately where Hanuman has fallen. And Hanuman briefly explains what all has happened, what is going on. And Bharat is filled with anxiety. What I have happened? I have distracted the work, or I have distracted, harmed the work of Lord Ram, delayed the work of Lord Ram. He tells Hanuman, why don't you get on my arrow? I will shoot my arrow to take you immediately to Lord Ram. There is power of Bharat. Bharat is also not an ordinary. Maybe one session we can just speak about Bharat Charitra. About the glories of Bharat, his bhav, his mood. So Bharat says, sit on my arrow along with this mountain and I will shoot the arrow to take you quickly to Lord Ram. For a moment. For a partial moment, actually Hanuman got little pride that time. Hanuman thinking, I am such a powerful, like so heavy, along with this mountain, how can I sit on this arrow and Bharat can shoot? But immediately, as soon as he got this thought, immediately he remembered the power of Lord Ram, the influence of Lord Ram, the power of his holy name, that anything can be possible. So, but he humbly tells Bharat that that's not needed. I will swiftly go. I will quickly go reach where Lord Ram is with this mountain. So again, Hanuman starts from there and eventually he reaches back where Lord Ram is. So Shushanvad takes the particular Sanjeevani herb and gives to Lakshman. And everybody is thinking, Hanuman, why you brought the whole mountain? You should have brought only the Sanjeevani. Hanuman saying, apna kya jata hai? There is nothing, a big task for me. I can bring the whole mountain. And I thought, this is war going on. Tomorrow somebody else may be unconscious. Somebody else may get hurt. Who will go again to get the Sanjeevani again? Better I just take the whole mountain right now. So as Lakshman gets up, next day, Ravana also gets the news that Lakshmana is safe. He is conscious again. Nothing happened to him. So next day, they plan to wake up Kumbhakarna. So Kumbhakarna is another Ravana's giant brother who used to sleep for 6 months. Actually, when both, all three of them, or four of them, Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Bhivishan, when all three brothers were doing the austerities to please Brahmaji and Lord Shiva to get the boon from them, Ravana wanted the boon to become immortal. And Brahma said, I cannot give you that benediction. Ask something else. Then Ravana tried to trick. Make sure I cannot be killed by this, that, all the devatas, Gandharvas, Chanaras. But I have no fear of Manava and Vanar. So Brahma said, okay, tathastu. And Kumbhakarna, he wanted Indrasan. And Indra became scared. And if he asks Indrasan, and he is so giant, he will be eating all the time. And there will be scarcity of food in all the planetary system. So what should we do? They send Saraswati to sit on his tongue so she can... He will miss... say something else than what he wanted to say. So he wanted to ask Indrasan. Saraswati allude him to say Nidrasan. Give me Nidrasan. That let this person keep sleeping for 6 months. So all the grains will be saved. Anyways, he's not going to eat grains. He will be eating all the humans and animals and everybody. And Bhivishan, he was a devotee. He did not ask for any other benediction. He said, I want that bhakti of Lord Hari. That was the benediction Bhivishan asked. So this Kumbhakarna used to sleep for 6 months and wake up only for one day, eat nicely and again go to sleep. So he said, let's wake up Kumbhakarna and send him for war. So so many soldiers go, they were playing the drums and all that to wake up Kumbhakarna. They put the food next to Kumbhakarna that he will wake up maybe by the smell of food. So after so much of hard work, hard labor, finally Kumbhakarna wakes up. Comes to Ravana. So as soon as he wakes up, he asks people, why you wake me up? And they tell him all what has happened. And he is also very upset. What did Ravana do? He has lost all his intelligence. He kidnapped Mother Janaki. So he also comes to Ravana and tells him that what you have done is very shameful act. Better you return Mother Janaki. And Ravana said, don't give me lecture. If you don't want to fight, go back to sleep. I can defeat Ram by myself. And then Kumbhakarna, he agrees to fight on Ravana's side. So that is also some of the demonic tendency. Even though sometimes we may know what is right or wrong, but we are not able to make the decision to give up that wrong association. Even though Kumbhakarna knew Ravana is wrong, Bhivishana was right. He left the association of Ravana and took shelter of Lord Ram. But Kumbhakarna was not able to give up that attachment of the wrong association. So he came to fight with Lord Ram. And he is kind of trashing everything, putting all the monkeys, stepping on them, destroying everybody. Everybody is scared. They come running towards Lord Ram. Please protect us, please protect us. So Lord Ram comes to fight. So very quickly, we'll kill Kumbhakarna very quickly. So Lord Ram shoots arrow, cuts off his one arm. Shoots another arrow, cuts off his another arm. And he is walking without arms, like a giant tree trunk. Lord Ram shoots an arrow, just cuts off his head, which goes floating in the... The head is cut off and thrown in the ocean, and big splash of water comes off the ocean, fills up the palaces of Ravana. Like a tsunami came. So much water is splashed up by the head of Kumbhakarna as it falls in the ocean. Still, his body trunk is moving, walking. Then Lord Ram shoots an arrow, cut it from the middle into two pieces, falling them to the ground. So as Kumbhakarna is killed, Ravana is filled with rage, filled with anxiety that Kumbhakarna is also killed, his most powerful brother. And the next day, Meghana says, I will go again for fight. I have not used all my strength yet. I will go to fight again. And next day, Meghanath goes and he shoots his Nagapash, the snake, the snake arrow, something called snake arrow, Nagapash. So he binds Lord Ram and Lakshman in that Nagapash. So they are bound with the snakes all around. And everybody is now thinking how to relieve or how to free them from this Nagapash. And at that time, all the demigods are fearful that what will happen. And Narad Muni goes to Garudadev. So Garud is enemy of snake. So there is an enmity between the Garud, the eagle, and the snake. So Narad Muni goes to Garud. He says, you need to go and help your lord. He is Lord Vishnu who has appeared as a human being doing the Manav Leela. So you relieve him from this Nagapash. So Garuda comes, he eats away all the snakes in that Nagapash, relieving Lord Ram and Lakshman from that Nagapash. But as that act he has done, relieving that, Garuda is filled with doubt. So Garuda is thinking, is he really the Supreme Lord? he is bound with the snakes and I had to come save him. Is he really the Supreme Lord? So Garuda is filled with doubt. That is also Lord's Leela. I said, Lord is in full control of all the pastime happening. He is a scriptwriter and director and the best actor. And he is doing everything for a purpose. Now Garuda is filled with the doubt. And he goes to everybody to relieve his doubt. He goes to Brahma. He goes to Shiva. And Lord Shiva also doesn't free him from the doubt himself. He tells him, go to Kagabhushandi, the king of the crows. He will be able to relieve your doubt. Now this topic itself is a big topic. So we'll not get into that one. Maybe that's a separate one session. So Lord Ram is freed from this Nagapash also. Again, Indrajit is filled with anger. See, this also is waste. So I will do a big yagya to gain more power to kill Ram and Lakshman. So Meghnath next day, he goes to do a tantric yagya. And Bhavishan, he comes to know, he goes to Lord Ram, tells him that Meghnath is doing a tantric yagya. Very, what do you say, unclean sort of things. Right, in this yagya, all this. He is doing the sacrifice of the blood and the animal flesh in the sacrifice. So he's saying this is very unpure sacrifice he is doing, We need to destroy this yagya. If he is able to successfully complete this yagya, he will gain so much more power. And it will become so difficult to defeat him then. So Lord Ram sends Lakshman to destroy that yagya, and he tells all other powerful monkey warriors, Nal, Neel, Angad, Hanuman, Jambavan, that you all go with Lakshman to destroy his yagya and to kill this Ravan Putra Meghnath. So Lakshman goes where he is doing this yagya, in one cave inside a mountain he is doing this yagya. So Lakshman with his army comes there, all the monkeys enter inside where he is doing yagya. They are kicking Meghnath, catching him with the hair and trying to drag him from his seat. But he is forcibly sitting there continuing his yagya. So monkeys take the water, throw it in the fire to stop this yagya. So finally they drag him from his seat, destroy this yagya, and Meghnath comes for fight. And Lakshman is ready to kill Meghnath at that time. Meghnath had the boon that Meghnath can be killed by only such person who has not slept for 14 years and he had observed celibacy for 14 years. And all this exile was that preparation for Lakshmana to be able to kill Meghnath. See, all the 14 years of exile, Lakshmana did not sleep. And Lakshmana was alone in forest, leaving behind his wife in the palace. And Lord Ram, knowing all the Leela, what is going to happen, that was the preparation for Lakshmana. As Lord Ram is leaving for exile from the palace, right, to go to exile for 14 years, at that time Lakshmana wanted to come. And Lord Ram said, no, you go take the permission of your mother. So Lakshman goes to Mother Sumitra, asking for permission that I want to go with Lord Ram in the forest. And Sumitra said, why even you came to take my permission? You did not need my permission to go with Lord Ram. Don't think Lord Ram is going in the forest because of he has to suffer some reaction. It is only because of he want to give you the benediction to serve him. That's why he is going to forest. And consider Ram as your father from now onwards and Sita as your mother, and serve them nicely in the forest. And make sure there is no negative feeling or no negative emotion come in your mind, even in the dream. So that was the words of Mother Sumitra. Make sure you don't have any negative feelings, negative thoughts, even in your dream. And Lakshmana said, I have full confidence in the daytime when I'm awake, no negative thought can enter my mind, enter my heart. But in sleep, you don't have any control. In the sleep, person may go into dreams or anything. So in the sleep, nobody has any control. But you have told me not to have any negative thought in the sleep also. So I take a vow, I will not sleep at all for next 14 years. So Lakshmana had taken that vow, that serving Lord Ram and Mother Sita in the forest, staying awake all these 14 years. So Lakshmana had not slept. Lakshmana had observed celibacy. So this way he was qualified to fulfill that boon which was given to Meghnath, to be killed by somebody who meets this criteria. So Lakshmana shoots an arrow on Meghnath, finally killing Meghnath. Meghnath's head is cut off. The head goes, falls in the palace of Ravana, in front of Ravana. And all the monkey warriors, they pick up the body of Meghnath and bring it to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram is thinking, we need to send this body of Lakshmana Indrajit to Ravana for his final ritual. We need to send it. We should send it respectfully. And as the head fell in front of Ravana, now Ravana is scared that Indrajit is also killed. And Lakshmana, Meghnath's wife, Sulochana, She is crying that I want to go bring the body of my husband. That only head has come here. Maybe the body is all with the enemy. So she comes to Ravana taking permission that please allow me to go bring the body of my husband. And all the ministers of Ravana, they're thinking, no, we should not allow Sulochana to go on the enemy side. What if they capture Sulochana and they do this thing that we will return Sulochana if you return Janaki. And Ravana is thinking, no, let her go. I know Ram will not do that. That is not Ram's job to kidnap somebody's wife. That is Ravana's job. That is Ravana. If somebody has asked Ravana actually. See, Indra had gone to Gautam Rishi's ashram, disguising himself as Gautam and enjoyed with his wife Ahilya. You should have also done same thing. You should have disguised yourself as Ram and you should have attained Sita like that. Ravana said, I had thought of doing that. But as soon as I think of as taking the form of Ram, Ram's character is so pure. Looking at somebody else's wife, you'd consider at your mother. So assuming the form of Ram, if I look at Sita, I will consider her as my mother. So there is no thought of enjoying her. So that's why I could not do that. So that is Lord Ram's character. Spotless. So pure. So it's not Ram who can do that kind of act of capturing somebody else's wife. That is Ravana. Even Ravana has that much confidence. So Sulochana comes. Respectfully, the body of Meghanath is given. And next day, Ravana thinks, now I will go myself in the war. There is no other powerful warrior left. I have to go myself. So he prepares to come himself in the war. As next day he is coming, we have to go a little quickly. Getting a little over. And we have Damodar Arati also at the end. And we want to kill Ravana today. So as Ravana himself comes, so there is war happened between Ravana and Lakshmana. And in that war, Ravana shoots arrow at Lakshmana and Lakshmana is shooting at Ravana. Lakshmana shoots hundreds of arrows in his chest, hundreds of arrows in his all the faces, which pierces back and forth through the heads of Ravana. But Ravana is not harmed. He is not killed, even though the blood is gushing from all these wounds of by shooting these arrows. And then Ravana shoots an arrow on Lakshmana, which gets onto his chest. Lakshmana falls unconscious. Ravana comes to try to lift Lakshmana. With all his might, he is not able to lift Lakshmana. And at that time, Hanuman sees that Ravana is trying to lift Lakshmanji, trying to bound and capture him and take him. So Hanuman comes from the back, kicks Ravana. And there is a fight between Hanuman and Ravana at that time. So Ravana comes and kicks Hanuman in the chest. Or punches Hanuman in the chest. Hanuman, nothing happened to Hanuman, just falls with his knee on the ground. Hanuman gets up and kicks or punches Ravana in the face. Ravana goes far away, falls on the ground as if the mountain struck by the thunderbolt falls down. So Ravana goes unconscious for a few minutes. He again comes to consciousness, gets up. Again ready to fight. Here Hanuman takes Lakshmana, which is unconscious, to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram is speaking to Lakshmana when he is unconscious. That you are the protector of all the demigods. How can you be hurt? How can you be harmed? And as Lord Ram is saying these words to Lakshmana, Lakshmana immediately gets up again. And ready to fight with Ravana. Again runs to Ravana to fight immediately. Again goes and shoots hundreds of arrows in Ravana's chest. Making him fall down from his chariot. Destroying all his chariot. Killing his charioteer. Killing all the horses on his chariot. Ravana falls unconscious on the ground. Immediately another chariot comes from Ravana. The another charioteer comes picks up Ravana, puts on the chariot and takes him back. And after some time, Ravana comes to his consciousness in his palace. And he started, rather than being thankful to his charioteer who saved his life, brought him back, he started scolding him. That, why you brought me back here? I was fighting with Lakshmana. So Mandodari is again trying to teach Ravana that now also, see, you, all your sons have been killed, all the mighty warriors have been killed. Still is time. Now make peace alive with Lord Ram. Still there is time. Give Mother Sita back. But Ravana still ignores. And next day, he comes to fight again. So there is a huge battle going on between Lord Ram and Ravana. And all the demigods are watching this fight happening with Ram and Ravana. And they're thinking, Ravana is on a big chariot. He gets into the sky, disappears and appear again. And shooting arrows. And Lord Ram is on foot, on the ground. So Indra sends his chariot. Indra sends his chariot driver that you go help Lord Ram in this war. We also want to contribute something in this fight between Ram and Ravana. So Indra sends his chariot. So Lord Ram, as Mithali, the charioteer of Indra, comes, prays to Lord Ram, please you get on this chariot and fight with Ravana. So Lord Ram agrees to the proposal. He gets on the chariot. So there's a fight happening between Ram and Ravana. Ravana shoots an arrow. Mithali hurt on his, the arrow gets into the chest of Mithali. He falls down from the chariot on the ground. Lord Ram immediately gets down from his chariot, picks up his charioteer. Are you okay? Again puts him back on his seat. Again Ravana shoots arrow. Arrows hit the horses on the chariot. Horses fell down. Lord Ram again gets down, picks up the horses, make them stand again. So that is the reciprocation of Lord Ram versus Ravana. Throughout the whole war, when this anybody is getting hurt or killed in Lord Ram's army, Lord Ram personally used to go see that person and take care of that, put bandages on them. And here Ravana, when the soldiers on his side, the demons, the Rakshasas are getting killed on his side, rather than doing their Antyeshti, the final ritual, he will say, throw all these dead bodies into the ocean. Why? So the enemy side should not feel they have killed so many of Ravana's soldiers. They think Ravana's soldiers, they are immortal. We are killing so many, hurting so many, but the again big army is coming back. But on the other side, Ram himself, every evening, he will take care of everybody who is hurt in the war. So that is the difference in Ravana and Ram. The reciprocation of Lord Ram. So as this fight is going on, Bhivishana comes in the front. And Ravana, seeing Bhivishana there, he wants to harm Bhivishana. He addresses Bhivishana. That you are the culprit, you are the cheater. You left me and went on Ram's side and you're telling all the secrets. And he shoots an arrow on Bhivishana to kill Bhivishana. And Lord Ram, seeing the arrow coming towards Bhivishana to harm him, Lord Ram immediately comes, pulls Bhivishana back and comes in front of the arrow. So rather than hurting Bhivishana, the arrow pierces Lord Ram's chest. Harms Lord Ram. Again, the reciprocation of Lord Ram. Lord Ram is thinking, he is under my shelter. And how can I get him harmed? And Lord Ram immediately comes in front to protect him. And on the other side, demonic tendency is, I don't care how many people are killed for my satisfaction, to give me pleasure. The same thing was happening in the war of Mahabharata. When both side armies are being observed, Duryodhan comes to his guru, Dronacharya, and he tells, see, all these people are on my side. And he is with proud, he is saying, all these warriors are ready to lay off their lives for me. See, that is the demonic tendency in one sense. See, everybody, he is feeling happy about that. Everybody is ready to give up their life. They are ready to die for my pleasure. So a demonic person feels pleasure in that by seeing others being harmed for his sense enjoyment. But here, Lord Ram, as a Bhakta Vatsala, showing the full protection to his surrendered devotee. So finally, as Lord Ram is shooting the arrows on Ravana, cutting off his heads, cutting off his arms. See, arrows, the heads of Ravana are cut off, the arms are cut off, fell on the ground, again reappeared. The heads are again and again cut off, the arms are again and again cut off, but again reappeared. So it's something like which happens to us also. When we are in the saintly association, sometimes we hear some nice pravachan, somebody is telling, we should not do this bad activity, you should not have these kind of bad thoughts. And our head with shame sometimes falls down. We agree. And the falling of head is like, we are agreeing to that, oh, we should not have these negative thoughts. We make promise that, oh, I don't want to think negative things. Negative about others, criticizing others. Falling off arms indicating we taking a promise, I will not engage in the wrong activity, the bad activity. But as soon as we go home, we come out of that association, again the heads pop up, again back off. Again engaging in same negative thoughts, same negative activities, wrong activities. So it indicates the same thing. The heads are cut off again and again, arms are cut off again and again, but it again pops back. So Bhavishana tells Lord Ram, so as this is happening again and again, Lord Ram looks at Bhavishana. He is testing Bhavishana. Is he ready to give up his last attachment? Even though he has come taken shelter, but does he still has attachment with his brother? So as Lord Ram is looking at Bhavishana, Bhavishana comes closer and tells Lord Ram, please shoot an arrow in his navel. In his navel is the nectar. When that nectar is dried up, then finally he will die. So Lord Ram becomes pleased at Bhavishana, for he has given up all his attachments, all his negative attachments, taken full shelter of Lord Ram. So Lord Ram takes up his arrow, puts on his saranga bow and shoots on Ravana. 31 arrows at a time. 10 arrows cutting off the 10 heads of Ravana. 20 arrows cutting off the 20 arms of Ravana. And one arrow piercing in the navel of Ravana, drying up of that nectar. Finally killing Ravana. And as Ravana's heads and arms are cut off, his body falling on the ground, he is finally saying, Jai Shri Ram! Jai Shri Ram!
Jai Shri Ram.
Shri Ramchandra Bhagwan ki
Jai.
Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki
Jai.
So finally Ravana is killed, falling on the ground dead. And as Ravana is dying, actually he is thinking, what is the cause of my defeat at the hand of Lord Ram? See, I had all the opulences, I had all the resources, I was living in the palaces. Ram was living in the forest for 14 years. He had no special weapons. He had no special army. But what is the cause of my defeat? And his own introspection is, the cause of my defeat is being disrespectful to the elders and a lack of character. Lord Ram's strength is of a highest character, the moral value, and being respectful to the elders. And Ravana, even though having everything, only thing he was lacking was a good character. And disrespecting his elders. He disrespected Malyavan when Malyavan tried to teach him. He said, I will kick you, just get out from here. On the other hand, Lord Ram even is respecting the elders as his chariot driver. When Dashrath sends Sumanta to take Ram, Lakshman, Sita in the forest, Lakshmana even pays obeisances to Sumant, and Sumant is saying, I am just your servant. Why are you paying obeisances to me? He's saying, you are the friend of my father, even though a chariot driver. You are as dear to me or as respectful to me as my father. And Sumantra said, you have given up your kingdom. You have going to the forest. But my blessings are that this kingdom will come back to you itself. You don't have to come to the kingdom will come back to you. So being respectful to the elder, on one side Lord Ram gained the kingdom. And on the other side, being disrespectful to the elders, being a wrong character, even though Ravan having everything, he was killed and lost everything. So the main point to learn here, no matter how much opulences we may have, but if the character is not good, all the opulences are bound to be burnt, as the golden kingdom of Lanka. So that is the festival of Vijayadashmi, Lord Ram killing Ravana, getting victory over Ravana, the victory of good over evil. And when we celebrate these festivals, the purpose of celebrating the festival is not just as an enjoyment. That, oh, we are celebrating Lord Ram's victory of Ravana, burn the effigy of Ravana, enjoy, watch some nice play, enjoy with friends, have some nice food, nice preparations. The main purpose is to introspect inside. Are we ready to give up the negative tendencies which are represented by Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Meghanath? See, Ravana represents all the anarthas in the heart. The lust, anger, greed, proud, envy, illusion. So Ravana represents all these anarthas. Kumbhakarna represents lethargy. And Meghanath represents the blind ambition. So we should have this introspection. Are we ready to give up these negative tendencies from our heart and make our heart, transform our heart from Lanka into Ayodhya? Right now our heart may be like Lanka, where all these demonic propensities are residing. But are we ready to kill those demonic propensities and transform our heart into Ayodhya? Ayodhya is, what is the meaning of Ayodhya? A yuddha iti sa Ayodhya. Ayodhya means where there is no war happening. But in our heart, right now our heart is like Lanka, where all the time war is happening. There is so much of negative feelings, negative emotions, negative thoughts. Even though we may know this is what is right or wrong, but most of the time we are inclined for the wrong things. We are always thinking, oh, should I go to the satsang program or should I just take it easy today, watch a movie, watch a football game, this, that. So even though knowing what is right and wrong, but sometimes we are inclined for the wrong things. So always there is war going on. And the another war which is going on is comparing with others. We are more unpeaceful, unsatisfied, not for what we don't have, but by comparing with others what others have. So transforming our heart from Lanka into Ayodhya means giving up all these negative tendencies and bringing Lord Ram into our heart. That is the successful celebration of the festival. So we'll stop here.
I have a question.
We'll continue in the next session from next onwards here. We'll take the question.
Yeah. You said while Indrajit doing Yajna, all the came and kicked and pulled him. Is it not like demonic nature? Because Yajna means it's like...
So he is doing a very unpure Yajna, not to please anybody for satisfying them. He is doing the Yajna for his satisfaction, to get some negative powers. And that the in the war, the system is Shathoshathyam. So Shathoshathyam system is with the cunning, act like a cunning.
See, now whatever we are seeing, like demonic nature's people, whatever they prayed for Brahma or Shiva, to whom they know that they are going to destroy all the... means they are having demonic nature. Still they are not disturbed by anyone. But he is also going to do same thing. Yajna means like he is praying basically. Then still
yes, so the war is already going on. And Lord Ram knows that in the war, he has left the war and tried to do that time. Right? So at the time of war, his duty is to come fight. But he is escaping somewhere to do this kind of yajna to gain power. So when the war is already on your door, your duty is to fight. Not that, okay, let me go to do some austerities for 6 months and I will come back and fight. So at that time, Lord Ram uses the principle of Shatoshatyam. With the cunning, you have to act like a cunning to punish him. So that's why the Lord Ram is using that principle. See, in...
No, before he going to Yajna, he can... he killed by Lakshman. No, why after sitting, they have to pull and...
Because he escaped. He escaped from the war field to go do this yajna to gain power. And that's why Lord Ram sent the army behind him to fight with him and destroy him. See, somebody was telling, in Satya Yuga, the system was, it was the Yuga of Panda. So there is no need to tell somebody what is right and wrong. Everybody is so pious, so peaceful. Everybody is doing their duty. So Satya Yuga is the Yuga of Panda. Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga is the Yuga of Danda. They have to take up weapon. Lord Ram has to take the weapon to punish the demons. Lord Krishna has to pick up the weapon, or has to have the Pandavas destroy all this demonic army. So Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga is the Yuga of Danda. And what about Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga is not the Yuga of Panda, not the Yuga of Danda. Kali Yuga is the Yuga of Propaganda. Everybody is doing so much of propaganda. Right? So much of cunning natures just to defeat each other, solve their purpose. But Lord comes with his plan how to protect the devotees and to destroy the demoniac. Shri Ramchandra Bhagwan ki
jai,
Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki
jai,
Shri Mad Ramayan ki
jai,
Shri La Prabhupad ki
jai.
So thank you very much.